I thank you guys. Heinz, I'll turn it back to you. Guys, thank you for your patience. I know we're half an hour over our time. Technical difficulties and so forth and so on. But thank you guys. I'll turn it back to Heinz.
Okay, if we take a seat a minute, we'll take time for a few questions, and then Sharon will be available at this table as well afterwards and answer any other questions that we don't have time to address here. So if you put up your hand, if you have a question, I'll bring the mic around.
Is this one on?
Hi.
Too? Is this one? Yes? It's not. Light is on, but it's not coming on. Just test one, two, three, two. Okay. Maybe not. We'll have to maybe pass, but
yeah.
I'll try to shout.
I'm curious what you have to say about the globalist use of Islam and what the end game is and how they expect to rein it in once they've used it.
Yeah, well, I don't. That's a great question. I don't know if they're going to be able to rein it in. you see a inner working between the socialist and globalists using Islam as an instrument. I think that's what the whole refugee situation is in Europe. Because also remember, the refugee situation in Europe is no longer refugees. These are not illegals just walking across the border. So the globalists tend to think they can control Islam. Same thing happened in Europe. I think they're going to be very sorry when Islam gets the upper hand and you see the spirit manifest. So while they think they can control it and funnel it and fund it, and they are to a certain extent, I think spiritually speaking, Islam is going to become dominant over the spirit that you see within this global movement. But right now, everything is, in my opinion, moving towards that one world government, one world religion, which is why I think you see the Pope so heavily pushing this interfaith, ecumenical, Abrahamic, we're all one nonsense to deceive many people who are, and many evangelicals are falling for this as well, and we have to be aware of that. So. If I have to go one way or the other, I say the globalists are going to lose one day to the Islamists. But of course, Christ wins at the end, right? Amen? Yes, sir.
It's my understanding that Islam is the fastest growing, or one of the fastest growing movements or religions in the world. Why? What's the appeal?
Well, it's not growing faster than Christianity as far as conversion, authentic conversion. The primary method of Islam growing fast is by takeover. So when you look at, for example, Kenya, Nigeria, you look at those African nations, it is by force conversion
that it is growing. But there is an appeal in certain areas. For example, I was saying this to someone during the break, the number one demographic of conversion, the number one demographic of conversions to Islam in America is in our prison system amongst blacks and Hispanics. And oftentimes, they're gang members. There's a large gang population. So I think part of the appeal is Islam comes across as very pious, very disciplined, very organized, and very devout. I think if Christians, as Christians, if we had half of the zealousness of Muslims and Islam, we would demonstrate a seriousness about our faith. But so that's part of the appeal, is it comes across as very pious, very holy. Even with treatment of women in the West, it's painting itself as, oh, look, we as Muslims, we want to protect women. We believe in modesty. Well, they have an argument, don't they? Because when you see what you know, Hollywood and media is like with the treatment of women, we're not obviously operating by Christian principles. We as Christians need to operate by modesty. But it's a lie, ultimately, because we know that it is absolutely abusive towards women. So that appeal is, I think, up front. And in prison, they're allowing the Muslim chaplains carte blanche access. And so it gives an appearance because, let me say it this way, it's so structured that someone that does not have structure in their lives finds structure in it. Of course, the more they go down that road, the more they get radicalized, which is one of the things you see. So that's a great question. Yes, sir.
First of all, sir, thank you for an outstanding presentation today. Very informative.
Praise God.
Very interesting. And thank you for taking your time to come here.
Praise God. He gets all the credit.
I am concern for your safety? Have you had threats to you personally or your family?
To me personally, yes. Thank God I've not had an open threat towards my family. To me, yes. But it is why oftentimes when we're able to, we do have security. Our church now in Spokane Valley has security all the time. Of course, part of that was when the spokesman review over there last year did a full front page hit piece on me, quoting the Islamists against me, and put the address of our church. I'm sure to promote, you know what, interesting that God used it. We've had several people come to our body to worship with us because of that article. But so yes, it's a facet. It is a facet. We have to be careful. There are times that I believe that the Lord has thwarted certain things by our due diligence. I've had several times where members of the Muslim Brotherhood, they've been there, they've been active, they've been working. But at the end of the day, the Lord is our protector. And so, as the Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ or die is gain. I don't fear it because the Lord is just giving us that peace. I do pray for my wife and our boys and our family. We're expecting our fourth baby. And so I do, you know, my heart is for them. I'm concerned for them. But for myself, I'm not concerned. But we do have to take precautions. So thank you for that heart. Of course, I would always covet prayers for protection as we go because the enemy does not want this message out. It's a spiritual and literal battle. And we are now talking life and death situation. So probably helped a little bit that God trained me as a police officer. I don't think that was an accident. The Lord knew what he was doing there too. Yes, ma'am. Hi. Good to see you guys again.
You were talking about that halal meat.
Yes.
And you mentioned lamb.
Yes.
But are they doing this with beef and chicken and all that other?
Yeah, we actually, it was interesting. It was a big controversy, I think it was 2 years ago, about turkeys. Yes. Butterball had a big controversy because they were coming out and the people were seeing halal stickers on the turkeys. So we're trying to determine how far it's infiltrated the meat industry. Certainly there are beef that is sold. We have not determined, you know, I mentioned Costco. Those of you who were not there the night yesterday, I mentioned Costco. Lamb at Costco is all halal. So if you go to Costco, you want to buy lamb, flip it over, in the prepackaged things, you'll see a halal sticker on it. That's Islamically sacrificed meat from the factories in Kirkland Circular factories in New Zealand and Australia. Well, there have been some rumors. You know, McDonald's was under controversy for a while that they were serving. There are some McDonald's in certain parts of the world or even in places like Michigan that have been rumored to be selling halal meat to all customers because, they, you know, I mean, it is a big business. I mean, it is a $500 million industry worldwide. So it's a lot of money involved. And so while I don't have a problem with a Muslim wanting to go buy some specialty meat, I have a problem that we have a right to know. And so it really is a battle. And as I mentioned last night, when you see school districts capitulating, the prison systems capitulating, King County is now serving halal meat in their prison system. School District of Kent, as I said last night, I think it was, or maybe Thursday night, they've removed all pork products because some Muslims complained. So this is the capitulation. This is what you see in Europe with the school districts. They are serving halal meat to all the kids. So that's the advancement of Sharia. That's step by step by step capitulation. So we got to put pressure on those from a consumer standpoint saying, hey, if you're going to serve halal, I'm not buying here. And so we need, you know, and I love lamb. And I have a friend of ours up in northeastern Washington who raises lamb. And so we got a lamb from him that we know it was non-halal, it was raised, it tasted delicious. We have pieces in our freezer, but it's hard to find lamb because it's all Islamic. So you got to be careful with that. If you go down Ever Mall Way here, a lot of the Euro shops and stuff like that, ask them. They're halal. They're serving halal. So you got to ask that question because I do think that while it does not have power over us, obviously, but if we know ahead of time, we should avoid it because it is, again, I mentioned last night, Acts chapter 15. The Council of Jerusalem said, here are four things that you need to avoid. The very first one, eating meat that has been sacrificed to an idol. That's what halal is. So, good question. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
So, during the tribulation, the Antichrist will have the religious person with him. So, you see that as a Muslim.
Well, I personally, this is just my personal viewpoint and what I present in here, is I in this new DVD, I present Islam's eschatology. And while I know people differ on who they believe the Antichrist will be, I personally believe there's strong evidence that it could be a Muslim or coming out of the Muslim world. The Bible talks about it could be an Assyrian. We see the rise of Turkey in Ezekiel 38, mentioned four times. Turkey right now is becoming the seat of Islamic power, even though Saudi Arabia is the funding of Islamic power or supremacy. Also because Islam's eschatology believes in a prophet figure, who the Bible talks about a false prophet, which they believe will be Jesus coming back as a prophet. I mentioned last night, they believe that the false Messiah is the Jesus of the Bible. So their eschatology is the exact opposite of our eschatology, like mirror. So I believe that it very well could be. Even if it's not, Islam plays a role, I believe, in this last day's tribulation, in bringing judgment.
May I make one comment?
Go ahead.
Besides, thank you very much for being here. My husband and I have personally been at a meeting with Bridget.
Gabriel. Yes.
And you've gone far deeper. Mm-hmm. No bad reflection on her, but you've gone far deeper, and I appreciate that very much. My heart's concern.
Yes.
For this country.
Yes.
Is that... we've been in different churches.
Yeah.
I do not witness any corporate prayer concerning these matters.
Right.
And I do not witness any corporate prayer for those who are in other countries, believers and non-believers, who are falling under the horrible, horrible tactics.
Persecution.
Of this demonic form.
Yes.
And that breaks my heart.
Yes.
Because I can remember coming out of the Midwest, being in a church where when there was something serious, my whole church, which was a large church, was on its knees.
Yes.
Right there.
Yes.
During the worship service.
Yes.
Crying out to God.
Yes.
I don't see that now.
Right.
Everything is talked about. Potlucks are done.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff in our churches. But we never get to what we should be getting to.
Yeah, and what I will say, and I 100% agree with your heart that grieves, I will say I do see that there is a remnant of God's people who are truly falling on their knees. There is a small percentage, not very many, but there are ministries and percentage of people that are truly repenting and want to stand before the Lord in humility, knowing that we bear responsibility for getting to this place. We've called on our body. We're going to be praying the entire month of October towards the election, because this election is going to be critical for this nation. We are at a precipice with the Lord and for the world. And as you said, my heart breaks for these Christians or professing Christians who claim to have such a compassion for these Muslims, but as you said, where is the prayer and the compassion and the grieving and the tears for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted? So let us be called to prayer. You know, we can't obviously control other people, but I share that sentiment with you. We must be on our knees interceding. I know, and I don't know about you, but personally, I don't feel like an intercessor, you know? Not everybody has that gifting, but we're all called to pray, and we're all called to humble ourselves. So I share that with you. Let's commit to it. Let's be in prayer. And if a church won't do it, if a denomination won't do it, we are the church. We, right here gathered in this room, we are the church. We don't need pastors to tell us. We don't need a domination. We are the church. And so let us commit to that heart of prayer and intercession, being falling before the Lord, humbling ourselves, and asking our God to intervene.
Okay, we'll take one more question, and then other questions we can address
the table.
To your table.
Yes, sir. There. Absolutely. Hi.
Hi, Sharam. It's always so great to see you.
Great to see you.
I get out as often as possible. This really isn't as much of a question. I wanted to address your comment about the halal. Pastor Mark Biltz, I don't know if you know Pastor Mark. Yeah,
yes.
He addressed this years ago, and he let everybody know there's an app, and it's called Zabiha. And you can download it for your phone, and it tells you where all halal meats are served, all restaurants, everything. And it was a great resource for those of us that don't want to funnel our money that direction or support that. And so that's something I just wanted to throw out that you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Zabiha, Z-A-B-I-H-A-H.
It could be Zabida.
Yeah.
It's actually in our DVD here.
Yeah.
In this DVD, when I talk about halal, I have the website on there. I think it's Zabida, but it's. If you just search, basically just do a you know, Bing search, whatever, for how can I know what restaurants serve halal, it should come up, and she's right. It basically gives you a map. You can type in your zip code, gives you a radius that you want to look at, and stores, restaurants. Now, doesn't mean they all are, but at least the ones who've identified themselves, it's a starting point, so you can avoid certain places with your dollars. So a very good point. So. I thank you guys again for coming today. If any of you are coming tomorrow morning, I look forward to seeing you bright and early tomorrow morning in Anacortes. And Lord willing, we'll be back with you again. Sign up for our email newsletter if you want to know where we're going to be. We send out updates. We send out our speaking engagements. Lord willing, we'll be back in the area again. I want to thank the Apologetics Forum, particularly for Heinz, for all the work that they've put in. So if we can give them a hand for bringing us out here. Yeah, amen. And it's been a blessing so far, and I appreciate the work they're doing to prepare, equip the body of Christ on all of these issues that we're dealing with. Last night, they inspired me because we homeschool our kids to get them more equipped and prepared on certain things. So be vigilant, be diligent, stay faithful to the Lord, stay strong, pray for one another. God is faithful. Let us be faithful. Walk in His power. We can't go wrong. Amen. For His glory. Lord bless you guys. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I just want to say on behalf of the Apologetics Forum, we thank you for coming to this. You got the short version of his messages. He's got a lot more to cover, and we hope to have him back sometime again to share some other parts of this message. And that's what the Apologetics Forum is all about, in order to equip believers so they know what they believe, why they believe what they believe, and how to defend what they believe. And if we could defend what we believe, we wouldn't have this heresy and all these other belief movements, threatening our youth in particular. And one of the things that we focus on, at least I focus on as a scientist, is to arm believers, and particularly young people, with information on evolution, because you can show from a science point of view that evolution has nothing going for it. If you compare the what the Bible says in creation and science, you'll see that they agree. So that is our battle, to arm our youth in particular, and you all as believers, so you can defend what you believe. And then we wouldn't have some of these issues. So let me just close in a quick word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we just again bring this meeting to a close. We thank you for Sharam and Michelle and their ministry and their family, and for the messages he is getting out. We just pray that many would listen and share that with others, with their colleagues, with their family. And that you would use that as a seed planted that would bear fruit. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.